steps up, fires it, and it's tipped, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted by Andrew Sendejo. Bridgewater under center, straight drop, fires center, the field caught! Touchdown, Vikings! It's Kyle Rudolph! Way of Randall fires, intercepted at the 35-yard line! It's Harrison Smith, 15-10, touchdown! He just set a Minnesota Vikings record for interception touchdowns. That's number four, and the Vikings lead 16-3. High formation, handoff, Adrian, dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! Eli Manning goes back to pass, whips it out to the left, and it's intercepted. Why wouldn't it be? Picked off by the captain. Turns it up to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Captain Munderland out of bounds at the four. The Minnesota Vikings have picked off Eli Manning three times tonight. Stutter steps to the line of scrimmage. Now he busts it out to the left of the 40, to the 50. And Jerick McKinnon is loose inside the 10. Touchdown! It's a 68-yard touchdown for Jerick McKinnon. And those left at TCF Bank Stadium rise to their feet to salute their playoff-bound Minnesota Vikings.
How does that sound, Vikings fans? Your team is playoff bound after a big victory over the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. They win 49-17 to collect their 10th win of the season and to not only clinch a playoff berth, but set up a NFC North Division Championship game at Lambeau Field this Sunday night. That game flexed to Sunday Night Football as well, so it will be back-to-back Sunday night football games for your Minnesota Vikings, and we are here to talk about it. It's another edition of the Wobcast. We're sorry for the delay getting the Wobcast up this week, but Nate and I were shoveling. We were shoveling ourselves out of monstrous snow piles from a huge snowstorm that hit Minnesota, right, Nate?
Huge snowstorm.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like
it. No, it was Snownami. It was Snowtacular. It was, you know, epic, something like we've never seen.
It's pretty epic that we both made it into work today.
Right. Here we are. We grinded through a Wobcast last week by doing it via telephone for each of us on Christmas, and we're going to grind through this one after shoveling ourselves out of the snow. So let's get to it. Big show ahead of us right now. Coming to you from not Xfinity Studios, Ben Lieber and Aaron Neuberger are actually using the studios right now to film Vikings Connected. So producer Nate Vaughn, yours truly, Mike Wobshaw from the Vikings Entertainment Network. We are in the Vikings virtual reality room recording the Wobcast because we want to talk about that Giants game and we want to do a little bit of a preview of the upcoming Packers game. We're glad you're here to take a listen to it. One thing we want you to listen to right away, the sounds from a victorious Vikings locker room.
Congratulations. Hey, congratulations. That's a good team win, all right? It's a way to come out focused, prepared, executing the things we have to do to win, okay? Sure. Now, we're in. That was the number one goal tonight, right? We're in. Next week, we get a chance to play for the division title, okay?
Sure.
Now, we don't need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We need to focus on our jobs going forward for the rest of the week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels good, you know, to come in tonight, we knew how big this game was. You know, not depending on anyone else to win so we can get in. Doing it ourselves, you know, taking care of business. So I'm just proud of all these guys, the coaching staff, for putting us in a great position today. We performed well. It wasn't perfect, but ultimately we got it done.
Now you go to Green Bay, exactly the stage set that you wanted, right? Night game, flex there for the whole division.
Yes. You know, now we are exactly where we wanted to be, in a position to win the NFC North. They flex the game, so it's going to be later. You know, that is what it is. But, you know, this is what we envision ourselves, have an opportunity to do at the beginning of the season. And it's right here in front of us.
It's going to give us another opportunity to learn how to win in this situation like we did tonight, which is big for our football team, just the maturation of it. And I think it's important for us to kind of go through this process and know that, tonight was a playoff game. Playoff-like atmosphere in Arizona. We've had some experience in these games now. Obviously, it's a playoff game next week and then moving forward. So this is what it's all about this time of year. So it's time to buckle up and keep grinding, doing what we've been doing. But you know, we know the opportunities there in front of us.
You know, even when guys were out, a lot of other players stepped up and played great. And we played successful football then, and you know, getting guys back just helps us even more. So I think it's, you know, I think we're doing a lot of good things. There's, you know, there's obviously still some plays that we can correct. So
how perfect is this setup for you guys now? I mean, Chad kind of talked about how since the last time you played Green Bay, you kind of been circling and hungry to get them. This is kind of it for all the marbles.
Yeah, I mean, you know, two good football teams, big rivalry. You know, it's setting up nice, but you know, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. We're going to watch the tape, get ready, and see what happens on Sunday night.
Okay, let's take a look at the good and the bad from the Vikings win over the New York Giants. The first bullet point Nate has: defense is healthy. What a difference that makes. No question about it. Healthy because the big three return: Harrison Smith, Linval Joseph, and Anthony Barr. Let's start with Anthony Barr. You know, he didn't make any big-time splash plays in the game against the Giants, but in the recording of X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, hosted by Paul Allen and airing on KFAN on Wednesday nights, Mike Zimmer was effusive in his praise of Anthony Barr, saying the guy has no ceiling, and he can basically do anything that he wants to do out on the field. Great to have a guy like that back. It gives Coach Zimmer a lot of flexibility in his play calling and in some of the schematics that he wants to do. Harrison Smith returns, and returns in a big way, and literally returns, getting an interception of Eli Manning in the second quarter and returning it for a touchdown. The fourth time he's returned an interception for a touchdown in his career, which is a Vikings franchise record. Linval Joseph returns to the lineup, and his impact was not just in making splash plays, but his return meant Tom Johnson went back to his normal role, which is as first guy off the bench. And what did he do in that normal role? Two sacks. So Linval Joseph's return was big time for the Vikings as well. Another thing we liked, Blair Walsh, 5 of 5 on field goal tries against the Giants, including 2 from 50-plus. Blair Walsh is now 6 of 8, Nate Vaughn, from 50-plus on the season. He's 32 of 37 for the season. At one point in time this summer, people were wondering if the Vikings should cut Blair Walsh. Quite a bounce back for him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, and this year alone, he's made a handful of game-winning or game-sealing kicks, yeah. And then you put together a 5 for 5 on Sunday night in the freezing cold.
So here he is, 32 of 37, 86.5% for the season, which is better than his career average in a season. So we like that. We want that number to go up. We'd like that field goal percentage to be in the 90s. He's got another regular season game to go, plus hopefully some playoff games to increase that field goal percentage. I'm glad he's on our team. I'm glad he's bounced back. He did miss a PAT, which I believe he's missed 4 of those this season. So maybe we should just take delay of game penalties on point after tries until it's a 50-yard field goal, because we know Blair's good from 50-plus.
I think that's something to bring up to Coach Zimmer.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring it up to Prefer. I'm gonna funnel it through that way and let Prefer bring it to Zimmer. But I'm going to follow the chain of command. I'm going to go straight to Prefer with that one. Let's go to offense. Another thing we like from that game, Adrian Peterson, Nate, another 100-yard rushing game. He leads the NFL in rushing yards with over 1,400, and he leads the NFL in 100-yard rushing games. He now has 7. So he's really fun to watch. He's chasing a rushing title. As I said, he has 1,418 yards rushing this season. That's number 1 in the NFL. He's got a 64-yard lead on Doug Martin entering the final week of the regular season. Adrian, of course, is at Green Bay, a team with which he's had a lot of success against in his career. Doug Martin is at, just the Carolina Panthers, who will be angry after losing and who I believe need to win to hold on to the number 1 seed in the NFC. So hopefully their defense will bow up and they can shut down Doug Martin. And if they can do that, Adrian should have the NFL rushing title this season. If that happens, it will be the 3rd time in his career that Adrian Peterson will have the NFL's rushing title, and the 4th time he's led the NFC in rushing. Not bad for a guy who turned 30 in the offseason and missed 15 games last season and had a bunch of people saying he couldn't make it back, wouldn't be the same, not the same guy we're used to seeing. Oh, he just is leading the NFL in rushing. So we love that. Another great game for Adrian against the Giants. Another great game for Teddy Bridgewater against the Giants. Not as gaudy of numbers as he's had the last couple of weeks against the Cardinals and the Bears. But, Nate, I think he made the best throw of the season for him in the Giants game. It was the touchdown pass to Kyle Rudolph. On the play, Teddy is under center. It's play action fake with his back to the defense, gets the top of his drop, looks off the safety, comes back across the field, finds Rudy, who has run a route called the Y nod, where he starts outside and then breaks it off inside, and Teddy throws Rudy open, leads him perfectly into the end zone, and fits the throw between the two safeties who are trying to close on it. My favorite throw of Bridgewater's on the season. I know a lot of people love the touchdown to Stephon Diggs, where he hit him kind of on a fade in the corner of the end zone, but I like this touchdown to Rudy as my favorite throw on the season so far for Teddy Bridgewater. Love the pass rush against the Giants. Four sacks, Nate, but it felt like 40. I mean, it felt like Eli Manning was under duress on every single snap. Tom Johnson had two, Brian Robinson had one, and what do you know, Danielle Hunter with another sack. He's just making at least one tackle for loss every game over the second half of the season. A lot of fun to watch him. Three interceptions for the defense. That was good. Harrison Smith, Andrew Sendejo, and Captain Munnerlin get the interceptions. The first one went to Andrew Sendejo, and Coach Zimmer talks all the time about just do your job so that you can help other people do their job, and that's what happened on the Sendejo interception because Xavier Rhodes jumped in front of the route, tipped it. Sendejo was right spot, right time, got the interception. Harrison Smith did a nice job of reading Eli Manning on his interception, and Eli was throwing it to Reuben Randall. Harrison Smith was playing on that side of the field, started out as the middle safety, crept over there, read Manning, jumped the route, overthrow by Manning, interception for Harrison Smith. He returns it to the end zone for a touchdown, and then Captain Munnerlin's came in some zone coverage where he let one guy run through the zone, came off of it, and jumped a route and had an interception. So nice to see the Vikings pick the ball off. And the last thing we'll say, the interceptions played a part of this, field position. The Vikings dominated the field position battle in this game against the Giants. The Vikings' average drive start was the 44-yard line, their own 44-yard line. The Giants' average drive start, their own 23. So a difference of 21 yards in field position for the two teams. The Vikings had four drives that started in plus territory, scored 24 points on those drives. Got to credit the special teams for limiting the return yards of the Giants, and you got to credit the defense for getting off the field on third downs and forcing the Giants to punt from their own territory. The Vikings defense got off the field on 10 of 11 third downs against the Giants. That's a lot of fun to see. Some bad from the game, the Khalil injury. It looked like he had a lower leg injury at the end of the game. We're optimistic he's going to be able to play. Of course, Mike Zimmer hasn't really commented on that, and he won't do so until Wednesday at the earliest. So hopefully Matt can make it back because he's a big part of what we do on offense. And then Terrence Newman also left the game with what was termed as an illness. So we hope that he can get better because we're going to need him against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Okay, enough from me. Enough from Nate. Let's go to some outsiders and hear what they thought about the Vikings-Giants game and about the Vikings in general. We go to the Around the NFL podcast for a Vikings-Giants recap.
So we knew the Giants were going to be in some trouble on Sunday night playing without Odell Beckham Jr., who, of course, was suspended for his wild man antics last week. What we didn't know was that they wouldn't be even close to competitive in the game against the Vikings in Minneapolis. This was a complete blowout, a 49-17 win for Minnesota, a game in which Adrian Peterson went over 100 yards to strengthen his lead in the rushing title race, and Eli Manning had nowhere to go, nobody getting open, unable to get the offense going. Harrison Smith had a pick six. This was just a game that got away from the Giants and the Vikings. Here come the Vikings now with the Packers loss and a Vikings win. These teams are tied, they're not. Minnesota's up a game, correct?
Right now, it's coming down to week 17. That's all that really matters. That's the size of the division. But they are tied.
They are tied at 10-5, excuse me. So the division on the line at Lambeau next week. Minnesota takes care of business, Greg Rosenthal, in a big way.
Wes and I were arguing before we just went to tape this about whether we should be impressed with the Vikings the last few weeks and whether the Redskins or the Vikings would be a more dangerous playoff opponent. I'd say the Vikings because – this is a team I haven't really seen a lot from to believe in all year, but they go to Arizona. They play the Cardinals very tight. I think that was Teddy Bridgewater's best game of the season at the time, and then he's followed it up with two really good games, and they've blown out bad teams, which is what you want to see, and the Vikings right now are playing better, I think, than they have all season.
The Vikings are well – I think they're a well-coached team where in other situations they wouldn't be 10-5 right now. You're right that it's good that they're playing this way at the end
they
of
get
the year.
All the, and they're getting healthier. They get Smith, Barr, and Joseph back in this game, and they drop a hammer on them.
But isn't the greater point that Wes is making, though, that we look at the Redskins, the Vikings, throw the Packers in there at this point, and barring something really unfortunate, if you want the best teams to get to the end of this race in the NFC, all of them are gone in 3 weeks.
It's top heavy, the NFC. I mean, there are three teams that you can make a case for being a Super Bowl winner, and none of those three teams you just referenced could be one of those teams, you would think.
It's where it gets interesting is next week the Vikings and Packers will have the Sunday night game, so they're going to know the winner of Arizona-Seattle. If Arizona beats Seattle, the winner of the NFC North draws the Seahawks in the playoffs, and the loser draws the Redskins if Arizona beats Seattle.
I'd much rather play on the road against Washington.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
what do you do though if you're a coach? I mean,
you got to play to win. You can't mess around with that. It's not like you can. I don't think you can do that.
But playing to win this week or the next week?
No, you play to win every game, and just the chips fall where they may. Maybe it's bad luck, and you go beat Seattle. If you're going to be the Super Bowl champ, you got to beat everyone. You got to beat everyone.
The Rams just did it, but it would be a different situation.
It won't be in Seattle. I mean, Seattle's going to have to go on the road, so that's a factor.
Giants are done. We'll see what they do. The Vikings. 10-5.
All right, it is time now to take a look at the latest playoff picture presented by ExxonMobil. Hanging out with Ike Taylor, as you can practically smell the postseason. It is almost upon us. We're talking about guys and units that are maybe underrated, going to make a difference in the postseason. Let's start off with a defense that could surprise some people. Maybe people aren't focused on in this postseason.
I want to go with the Vikings defense. Coach Zimmerman, man, just from playing against him at Cincinnati, man, he always had the Cincinnati defense on the road. He's doing the same thing with a young Vikings defense. You know what?
And a hungry defense,
and a hungry.
Too.
9 sacks in 2 games, 10-1 with 21 points of field. When you talk about the Vikings defense, these guys are creating turnovers. As a defensive-minded coach, when you can score on defense, which the Vikings have been doing, it's saying a lot.
38 points against the Bears. 49 against the Giants. I get it. They won't be facing those teams in January. But still, this is a team that you feel like, whether it's Minnesota or Green Bay, they're playing better out of those two teams, right?
Yeah, they're playing better, and you have to respect what they're doing. I think during the season, most people thought that Teddy Bridgewater was a glorified micromanager of the game, and he didn't have the arm strength or the ability to go out there and really torch teams in the air. But what we saw today, as we're seeing right here, he can negotiate the pocket, he can scramble with his feet, and obviously the composure is what we've been talking about since he got drafted is something that has allowed this offense to flourish.
Yeah, really, and it's really for the Minnesota Vikings going to be about how much can Teddy Bridgewater do for you? Because when it comes to the playoffs, teams are going to crowd the line of scrimmage. They're going to stop Adrian Peterson. They're going to play press man on the outside and see if they have someone at the receiver position that can beat them. Mm. And so Teddy is going to have to make plays. They will be in every game because of that defense.
Right.
Obviously, Zimmer, you know, he's one of the best at doing what he does on the defensive side of the ball. But again, it's going to be up to Teddy Bridgewater to move this team up and down the field because people are going to aim to stop Adrian Peters.
I got to give a lot of credit to my former coach, Mike Zimmer. Yeah. What he's done with the organization, even giving them hope and allowing them to believe that they can win. Defensively, they're really playing well.
Yeah.
I would like to see the secondary step up, but that front that they have really gets after it. And on the offensive side, let's give credit as well. Norv Turner, man, what he's doing and taking this young kid. This Norv's that's who he is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know Norv. He's the running back is going to run, and the quarterback is going to not just manage the game, but he's going to make the plays that he needs to make. And if Teddy could just get the ball downfield a little more vertical, I think this team has a tremendous chance. I don't know about right now. They're not ready to go to the next level right now.
They
but
need someone
the next,
on the outside.
Yes, but they got young guys
they got
that are
pieces,
capable.
What I'm saying.
But they
experience.
Need to mature.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, let's get to some general talkers and wrap this thing up, Nate, before we go to the NFC North update. The coldest month of the year is typically what, would you say?
I'd say December,
January. December or January, right? Well, Teddy's staying hot. with January approaching and December coming to an end, Teddy has stayed hot in the month of December. 7 career games for Mr. Bridgewater in the month of December in the NFL. 71.5% completion rate, 261 passing yards per game, a 12-5 touchdown to interception ratio, and a passer rating of 109.3, which is behind only Tony Romo and Kirk Cousins among current NFL players in the month of December in the last 2 years. Pretty good by Teddy Bridgewater to stay hot in the month of December. The Vikings are going for their 19th division title, Nate, and if they get it, they will stay one division title ahead of the Packers since 1961. And the Vikings have made the playoffs for the 28th time since 1961. Green Bay has made it 27 times. So the Vikings ahead of the Green Bay Packers in both division titles and playoff appearances by a very slim margin, but trying to maintain that margin this season. Okay. Let's stick with the division talkers, and let's take a spin around the NFC North. To do that, Nate Vaughn is going to take the driver's seat and tell us what happened in our division last weekend.
Okay, as we get closer to the end of the season, some of these games we don't really spend as much time talking about. Right. Make way for the big guys.
Right, yeah. Excuse us. Excuse us coming through.
All right. Anyway, Detroit 32, San Francisco 17. Detroit, another win. Finishing out the season fairly strong if you consider the way things started for Detroit.
Yeah. One cool note from that game, Nate, Calvin Johnson has been as good a receiver as there's been in the league during his career, but it was a receiver on the other team that had a cool accomplishment in this game. You know what it was?
I think so, but I want you to tell me more.
Anquan Boldin, 1,000th career reception, I believe just 13th receiver in NFL history. Or 13th player in NFL history with 1,000 catches. I say player because tight ends throughout NFL history have not gotten to 1,000 yards, but a couple have, and Jason Witten got to 1,000 this season. So Anquan Boldin joins the 1,000 catch club. Of course, Chris Carter is a member of that club. He did it as a member of the Vikings, but congratulations to Anquan Boldin on his 1,000th career catch. Quite an accomplishment.
Chicago 26, Tampa Bay 21.
For John Fox in Chicago, it's his first season, and he's trying to establish a new culture and a style of play and a mentality, especially on defense, where they're really rebuilding, going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. A note from this game, Lovie Smith, who's now the Buccaneers head coach, was the former Bears head coach. He's 0-2 against his former team, so that's no fun for Lovie. Of course, you want to try and get a victory against your former team. On the Bears, I'm not sleeping on them going into 2016. I think the Vikings are a team to deal with in the NFC North going into 2016. Of course, Green Bay is. I think Chicago is going to be no slouch next season. John Fox and that coaching staff, I think they got something going there in Chicago. So do not sleep on those Chicago Bears this offseason.
Another game with a lot of eyes on it from up here in Minnesota. I know they had it playing early on, probably before the gates even opened for our game. Arizona taking it to the Green Bay Packers 38-8 Arizona. Had a lot of fans cheering pretty hard when those updates would come across the screen, getting ready for kickoff in our game.
Yeah, it was a big deal because what it did was it didn't allow the Vikings to clinch a playoff spot, but Green Bay losing assured the Vikings of a division championship game in week 17. So that's why people wanted Green Bay to lose, aside from the fact that we always basically want Green Bay to lose. And they did lose. And a big reason why they lost, Nate, 8 sacks of Aaron Rodgers. And Green Bay's offensive line a little banged up right now. David Bakhtiari, their starting left tackle, did not dress for the game. Brian Bulaga, the starting right tackle, left the game. And starting center Corey Linsley also left the game. So that bears monitoring this week on the Packers injury report. A little banged up on that offensive line. Of course, we have our own injuries to worry about, but we'll have to watch. And in the late week edition of the Wobcast, we'll definitely take a look at that and see which Green Bay Packers offensive linemen are missing practice because of injuries, because that could have a pretty significant bearing on our game against them on Sunday night.
Finally, Minnesota mopping the floor at the University of Minnesota Stadium with the New York Giants, 49-17. Giants scoring a touchdown in garbage time there. So I can't really say it made it sound closer than it was because it's still quite the margin. But that was a fun game to be a part of.
It was a fun game. And you made a comment about this the other day. Like every time you looked up, like you got distracted for 10 minutes and you'd look up and we had 10 more points. I mean, the Vikings, I believe, if you count the Harrison Smith score as a possession, I believe it was they scored on 9 of their last 10 possessions. because we started the game with three punts. And from that point forward, we had one more punt the rest of the game, and then we had a drive end on kneel down, so I don't really count that. So I think it was 9 of the next 10 that we scored.
I imagine Jeff Locke had to keep a jacket on for most of the second half.
Yeah,
had
and stand
to
in
try
front
to find ways to be warm other than kicking a ball.
Right, and stand in front of the heater. And we need him to stay somewhat nimble now because he's holding. So obviously
that's
he
true.
Did a good job.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Blair was 5-5 on field goals, so obviously he did a good job, but... yeah, we didn't need Jeff Locke's punting services much after the first quarter. The Vikings putting up points on the board left and right, and the defense chipping in with a pick six by Harrison Smith as well.
So matchups in your final week of the NFL regular season, two divisional games. You have the Lions at the Bears at noon, and then the big one, the last game of the regular season in the whole NFL, the Vikings at Packers. That game announced that it was flexed during our Sunday night game against the Giants. So two Sunday night football games in a row. Vikings at Packers for the NFC North title.
You said you wanted me to flex for you?
Yeah. Could you, please?
The Lions and Bears, so one of five games in Week 17 that have no playoff implications. That's pretty good. 11 of 16 games this week will have playoff implications when the ball is kicked. And I think that's pretty cool. You got to give a lot of credit to the NFL when they switch their scheduling policy to make all Week 17 games divisional games. That's a big reason why so many games this week have playoff implications still on the line. Should be a lot of fun in Week 17. What's not a lot of fun is tracking my over-unders. This sucks. What is wrong with me?
I don't know, but as you said, it seems the worse you do, the better the Vikings play.
Well, I'll take one for the team then, and we'll keep it up.
Yeah, we'll keep going with that excuse. God. The first over-under we took a look at was Teddy incompletions, and we put the over-under at 11.5, but it was actually pretty close. He was 15 for 25 for 168 yards and one touchdown. You took the under on incompletions, and that was correct.
Yes, because 25 minus 15 is 10.
Vikings.com can confirm that subtraction is correct.
So I got that one right, and on the sheet you gave me here, that's the only one that says correct after it. So
I put it in bold.
I know. Let me just take my beating here and tell us about the ones I got wrong.
Longest field goal made, 49.5 yards. So would there not be a 50-plus yard field goal made? Two good kickers in this game. Josh Brown from the Giants having one of the best years in the NFL for kickers. We have faith in our guy, Blair Walsh. You took the under. You didn't think there'd be any 50-yard field goals. Cold night game. I could see why, but you were dead wrong.
Yeah, I was. I guess I should never bet against Blair. I wasn't betting against Blair. I was betting on our offense, you know, not needing to kick those long field goals. So I'm glad Blair did it. Two from 50-plus, 52 yards and 53 yards. Both were big, in my opinion, Nate, because the first one was right before halftime. So A, it gives you momentum going into halftime. You put points on the board. B, the Giants got the ball to start the second half, so it's nice to get points on the board right before they're going to take possession. But C, with how the Vikings handled the clock in that situation, they called a timeout with 9 seconds left. So had Blair missed that, there were still 4 seconds on the clock after the miss, or after the field goal, and if it's a miss, the Giants get the ball at the spot of the kick, which would have been like the 45-ish yard line. They would have had one throw to the end zone. So so that was a big field goal for Blair. And then the second one, for the same reason I just mentioned, if you miss that kick, the Giants get the ball at the spot of the kick, gives them a short field. We had been dominating the field position battle at that point in time. That would have flipped the field for the Giants. Still early enough for them to come back. You can scoff at that, but the Giants came back from 35 down against the Carolina Panthers the week before, all in the second half. So it's a team that can come back on you. And so that was a big kick for Blair as well.
Finally, we looked at Kyle Rudolph receptions. We put the over-under at 4.5, and you took the over. You thought it'd be a big game for Kyle Rudolph. It was, but not necessarily in the number of receptions, more in the type of receptions. He had one touchdown catch. So on two catches for 53 yards. So yeah, you were incorrect in taking the over.
Wrong here, but again, I'm telling you, for those of you listening, if you haven't done it, you can go back and watch the highlight and see it, but try and find an All-22 copy of it and watch the touchdown pass from Teddy to Kyle Rudolph, the end zone view especially. It's a thing of beauty, the best throw he's made this year. Okay, Nate, before we go, let's take a look at the playoff picture. Let's start in the AFC. where I have two things. I really have three things to bring up, and we'll go very quickly. First of all, something that's funny. The Colts right now are not in, but they are still alive. And if just this happens, the Colts are in the playoffs. The Colts win. The Texans lose to the Jaguars. The Bills beat the Jets. The Dolphins beat the Patriots. The Ravens beat the Bengals. The Falcons beat the Saints. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. The Broncos beat the Chargers. And the Steelers beat the Browns.
Simple enough.
If that happens, the Colts are in.
That's big time.
Yeah, so good luck to that. That's like, you know, basically the Colts have to go to Las Vegas and hit a 10-team parlay. You know, like, how often does that happen?
With one quarterback on their active roster.
Yeah, right. So, like, that never happens. Okay, but really, though, the two things I want to talk about, all right. The Jets, Nate, they are now the sixth seed after their victory over the Patriots and the Steelers losing to the Ravens. The Jets are in the playoffs right now at 10-5 as the sixth seed. They are a wild card. Nate, the Jets are on a 5-game winning streak. In that 5-game winning streak, they are seventh in points per game at 27.2. They are third in passing yards per game at 297, and they are second in time of possession per game at 34.5 minutes.
Ryan Fitzpatrick tearing up the NFL.
What is up now? And I know the Jets with head coach Todd Bowles, who is a respected defensive mind in the NFL. He's their head coach. They have a great defense, tons of talent on that defense. They're very good. Sheldon Richardson is very good. Darrell Revis is still very good. Antonio Cromartie is good. David Harris is a veteran, and he's very good. But it's the offense in this 5-game winning streak that's really impressing people. Second and last thing on the AFC, I want to ask you this question, Nate. The Broncos and Bengals, did you watch that game on Monday night?
I did not.
As you know,
I was preparing for the Snownami.
Oh, and the Wobcast.
Get bread, right. Milk from the store. Okay.
Right, right.
I had things to do.
Snowstorm of the century that came. I'm glad you did that. I had all that done, and so I had time to watch the game, so I did. The Broncos are playing, obviously, with Brock Osweiler, the backup quarterback, because Peyton Manning hurt his foot, and they have not inserted him back into the lineup yet. And the Bengals are playing with backup A.J. McCarron because Andy Dalton broke his finger after he threw a pick and tried to make a tackle. Note to all you young quarterbacks out there, just stay out of the way. Okay?
Let a lineman just chase him down. Let someone else do
the
dirty
already
work.
Threw a pick. Let's not compound the problem here. Just go down. Anyway, I want to ask you, the Broncos are 11-4 with Osweiler. The Bengals are 11-4 and have McCarron. Now, the Broncos have a better seed right now. They're the 2 seed, so they have a first-round bye. But the Bengals are expected to get Andy Dalton back. Who's in better spot?
I'm going to go with the Broncos. The Broncos have the better scenario.
Okay.
Although neither are completely ideal at this point.
Obviously the first round bye is great, but the point being the Bengals are a better shot to return to normalcy at quarterback.
True.
They might have to win a wild card game with AJ McCarron, but with the way they played at Denver, it wouldn't surprise me if they could do that, as hot as the Jets are. But I just think it's an interesting spot that both those teams right now are two of the three best teams in the AFC, and both are playing without the quarterback that they started the season with. And when you look at the AFC, last note on the AFC, I promise everyone, we're moving to your conference next. Just stick with us. The Broncos, the Bengals, the Texans, and the Jets are all in the playoffs, and the Colts are in the hunt. None of those teams I just listed have the quarterback that they started the season with playing for them right now, which just speaks to the importance of having some depth at that position, having a good backup. So, okay, let's go to the NFC. Let's just talk about the Vikings here. The teams are all set. It's Panthers, Cardinals, Packers, Redskins, Vikings, Seahawks in that order right now. But let's talk about the Vikings and the scenarios. Vikings fans, if your team wins on Sunday night against the Packers, they win the division, and they have a home playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. If the Vikings win, the only scenario that exists is hosting the Seahawks on Wild Card Weekend. If the Vikings lose, there are two possibilities. If the Seahawks also lose, the Vikings are the 5 seed and they are at Washington on Wild Card Weekend. If the Vikings lose but the Seahawks win, then the Vikings will return to Green Bay for Wild Card Weekend and play the Packers on Wild Card Weekend. Seahawks lose, Vikings are at Washington. Seahawks win, Vikings are at Green Bay if the Vikings lose this week. If the Vikings win this week, they host the Seahawks. So 3 different possibilities for wild card weekend for your Vikings. hosting Seattle, playing at Washington, or playing at Green Bay. Those dates and times will be announced by the NFL during, at the conclusion of, or immediately after the Vikings-Packers Sunday night game. And if it's not decided by Sunday night, they'll announce it by Monday after the Vikings-Packers game, which teams are playing on which days. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. The first wildcard weekend game is televised typically by ESPN Saturday at like 3 o'clock-ish. The second wildcard game on Saturday is a Saturday night game televised by NBC typically. And then on Sunday, it's a noon game and a 3 p.m. game, just like a regular season Sunday, televised by Fox or CBS, depending on which teams play at noon and which teams play at 3. So that's the lowdown on the playoff picture. That's the lowdown on what happened in the Vikings-Giants game. We thank you all for listening. That's going to do it for this early week edition of the Wobcast. Nate and I will be coming back later in the week for a New Year's Day edition of the Wobcast as we take a deep dive into the Vikings-Packers 2015 NFC North Division Championship game. Going to be a ton of fun. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you on Friday. So, yeah!